Okay, the amazing thing here is I can't figure it out, is that the reception that I get from India to America is 3 or 4 times better than I get from T-Mobile in America. Okay, we will begin the class. Reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Book 1, part, is it? Part 5, let me see. It's 4 or 5. Part 5, text 25. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He Krishna Bratarastasya Kim Varnyo Purvadarsita Rupa Sandaya Lavanya Madhuryas Charyatabara. O Krishna's brothers, how can the infinite wonders of his bodily beauty, his effulgence and his charm be properly described? Features so attractive have never been seen in anyone else. Commentary. While liberation and pure devotion obtained more easily from Krishna than from any other form of Godhead, because he is supremely attractive. The beauty of his all-attractive features has never been seen in anyone else, nor in the Lord of Vaikuntha, nor in any of the incarnations of Vishnu. Narada's opinion, even to try to describe Krishna's unique beauty, would be futile. Om Jnanatamarandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurudmilitam yena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vairagya Yudbhakti Visham Prayatnai Akayamam Manadipsamandam Kupamburiya Paraduka Duki Sanatanastam Prabhamasriyami Vansha Kaupa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhai Vicha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasave Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Vrindavan. I think I'll start the class by just giving a little Vrindavan bhava or mood and maybe describing a little bit about my first couple of days here, and perhaps sharing some of the realizations I've gotten. Another reason why I want to do that is because, I came in Vrindavan. I didn't know anybody was here, but some people found out, and they came to see me, and just wound up giving class every night to a really nice group of devotees. So they come at 7, and here it's 20 to 7. So I'd like to try to avoid... I'd like to have the audience on the same frame of reference, so as much as possible, I'll try to wait a little bit and just describe it. It's so nice to be in Vrindavan, and traveling in the West, it's just a different influence there, and I know I get some mercy from doing that, because that's what Prabhupada wanted. But I don't know what it is, but the, you know, I was wondering when I got back here, you know, Vrindavan's being covered by urbanization, and I'm just feeling discouraged about Vrindavan in that regard, and would I be able to relish it, and I don't know, in the West, it almost has a subtle atheistic mentality that seeps in ways. And, you know, I came here, and just the first day I did my Giriraj worship, you know, I just, how real Krishna consciousness becomes in the Dham. I mean, the potency, the mystic potency of the Dham, it's just so powerful. I was just shocked myself. There is a wonderful potency here, and that's nice. And then from the very first day, people started to visit me, and I just told them to come for class, and it's just nice. I mean, life and spiritual life certainly is about relationships and the sentiments that are exchanged. And when they're perfectly exchanged, that's called Vrindavan. As Prabhupada often said, everyone has a loving propensity, but where to repose that loving propensity when one is fully satisfied? And the answer is Krishna, God. So it's nice and to see friends. And and then the second day, maybe that atheism seeped in a bit. I don't know, I wasn't feeling like bathing in the Jamuna because unfortunately the sewage is put in there. And that's kind of different from usually. I just would jump into anything that was holy. So maybe the empiric viewpoint, you know, covered my face a little bit. So I decided to enter into Vrindavan by Radhakund. And they actually had the ceremonial cleansing of Radhakund, whatever it is. But anyway, Radhakund, I go to Radhakund. And I went with a devotee from Santa Barbara named Sarvatma. Very nice devotee. And I had that experience because when you, those of you that come to me in India, there's only one, the entrance and exit to Radhakund is the same place. That narrow little road that comes down, and then when you leave, you go out that road. And, you know, I had that experience. It was really nice. We went into Radhakund, and weather's very hot, and I love going to Radhakund when it's very hot because you could really relish the bath to another degree and stay in there. And I did the Radhakund, Shamakund, Radhakund. So I was with Sarvatma, and he was telling me about his japa beads and how he got these amazing japa beads 20 years ago. He was in Radhakund, and he was looking for this sadhu, this famous sadhu, who carved the best japa beads. Couldn't find him when he went back to the temple. Who's standing there but this sadhu with all these strands of different tulsis? And somehow he already had this sadhu had a special set of beads, and he asked the sadhu for his own personal beads. And somehow or other, the sadhu's face dropped, but somehow he's able to get those beads. So he's telling me about his beads. So we went towards the Sangam where Radhakund and Shamakund crossed. It was about 10:30, 11, not many people there. There's something very mystical and spiritual when you come to Vrindavan in the relatively hot season. And he put the thing down. He said, well, maybe one of us should watch it for the monkeys. And I said, no. No need. And then he said, I said, okay, we'll keep someone. He said, no, let's just go in. As soon as we went in, the celebrated monkeys of Vrindavan, one monkey came and grabbed his japa beads and just ran off, and we just sat there detached. By Krishna's grace, they were recovered. And then we took our bath. It was wonderful. Come on in, please. Yeah, because I give my phone class, and yeah, people will come at 7, but you're here on time. Okay? Thank you. So I'm describing how entering the Dham. And so then we went, and he said he tried to see Mahanidhi. Swami hadn't seen him in so many years. And then we went, we tried to see Mahanidhi. The gate was locked from the outside. And okay, we were walking out. Somehow some person said, oh, you want to see Mahanidhi? Come. And he opened the gate. We spent some time with him. And it's so nice to see these people that, of course, stayed in the Dham. It's wonderful. And spoke some Harikatha, and then we left. And we had the definite experience of Vrindavan. It was, it's almost an experience when you enter into Radha Kunda, you become so absorbed. You see the holy river, you bathe in the holy river, you see the sadhus, you become so absorbed that when you leave, you have no recollection of time, although you have a sequential remembrance of what you did, because you become so absorbed there. And, you know, and then you kind of leave in the same place, and it was just like a wonderful experience there. And then in the evening, I was wondering when I'd get my special entrance price for the Dham. Prabhupada said you can't buy a ticket to Vrindavan. And I'm just saying, I'm not going to let the monkey get my glasses again. I spent too much money for them. I didn't even wear glasses when I went to Radha Kund. And I mean, I'm safe in this wonderful place that Giriraj Swami allows me to stay. Some of you have seen it. It's so ideal for Krishna Bhajan, and all my needs are met here. And then the electricity caught fire. Just burned the wires down. So I spent a wonderful evening detached, no electricity in the hot weather. Such wonderful remembrances. And you have to be just satisfied with God's will. And that's Vrindavan. And a friend of mine told me also, especially when you make a commitment to stay here longer, that, you know, it's almost that, you know, you have to qualify here. And he said he lives simply because he feels that you need to have some simple life to live here. And if you try for any other life, the simple life will come another way. So, that was nice. And then this morning, this afternoon, I went over to see Prem Kishore, and you know, he has preserved the original Vrindavan and this Giridhari that has that beautiful little indigenous type house, and going out there and seeing people that, you know, they just live so simply. He's been there now for 3 years without living. Taking care of the cows, taking care of the land. It's very, very powerful to see people who do that. So that was really nice. And then I came back here today for my class. So I guess I'll begin. We didn't have class last week. But Rishi, we're doing Priya Bhagavatamrita. If I do it once a week, you really got to keep the frame of reference up, because even I forget what you studied the week before. So our section is when Narada is pointed towards the Pandavas. And I mentioned yesterday when I was discussing the Brihadaryatamrita, and the Bhagavatam is basically, a great part of it is just the glorification of the devotees. Because when you glorify the devotees, you glorify Krishna. Because a devotee, his activities, he's focused on Krishna. So when you focus on the devotee, you're focused on Krishna. And we even see in Prabhupada, in the back of the Godhead, you know, who's Prabhupada? He's like, where there's Godhead, there's light. You know, where there's no Godhead, there's nescience. We see what? Prabhupada is looking at Krishna. So when you're glorifying and hear about the devotees, you're hearing about Krishna. Because that's what their mind is. Speaking about nice devotees, I went to the temple this morning and Andrew was doing kirtan. And then he took me to his room. And Andrew is a perfectionist. Whatever he does it to perfection with incredible intensity. So he's writing a book called The Transcendental Heart of Book Distribution, which is about Raghunuga Bhakti. And he showed me the cover that he made. I've never seen anything like this in my life. It's an original painting that he had made where Radharani is sitting with her associates, and Krishna is looking in the tree and watching Radharani with the associates. And Radharani's with Ananda Manjari, her younger sister, is standing behind her. And then the other associates are there. And then it's kind of, I don't know, it's like a 3D cover, but you just tilt the cover. And Radharani, Krishna disappears, and Radharani turns into Lord Chaitanya. Ananda Manjari turns into Lord Nityananda. And all of a sudden, you just turn the cover. It's one of those covers where, I don't know, it looks like it's 3D, but you just, and just said, hey, look at this. You turn the cover, and Krishna disappears, and Radharani turns into Lord Chaitanya. Ananda Manjari turns into Lord Nityananda. All of a sudden, Gadhar and the Panchatattva are there. It just changes into Gaur-lila. And then he was explaining to me the transcendental pastimes. I guess that's why you come to the Dham. You come to the Dham for the devotees. So already I got that such nice association. And tomorrow I will go visit Mother Srimati. She wrote me a letter through someone else. She doesn't use email or anything like that. So getting that association. So it's about devotees. And the Bhagavatam is about the devotees. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita is about devotees. And it's a very, very nice meditation. So in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, now when you get to the point, is when you see the devotee, you get three different perspectives of each devotee. And when you look at things from different angles, it sharpens things. When you really want to see something, you should look at it from different perspectives. Therefore, Prabhupada, you know, he told the devotees he wanted them to study his books and look at it, you know, discuss it from different angles of vision. Different angles of vision. It's like Andrew's painting. You look at it one way, it's Radha and Krishna. You look at it another way, it's Panchatattva. So different angles of vision. So in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in Narada's search, for the topmost devotee, you see the devotee through the glorification of the previous devotee who is deflecting Narada's praise and saying, you're looking for the topmost devotee. If that's your search, this devotee is superior. And then you hear this description. Then you see that devotee. In this case, it's Prahlad who says, no, you know, you're glorifying me. You really want to see the top devotees see the Pandavas, because their relationship with Krishna, God, is more intimate. And therefore, Krishna appears as, he appears as Krishna, the most fullest revelation of God's potency, his beauty. So you see it from that perspective, then you see the devotee, from the Prahlad describes the Pandavas, then Narada comes, and then you see the devotee through the eyes of Narada. If you remember the beginning of the pastime, I described this yesterday, what are the Pandavas doing? Well, they're kings, so they have a meeting. So what is the main agenda topic? Main agenda topic is how to get Krishna. That's what spiritual management's about. How can we get Krishna? And so they're planning, because Krishna's on the planet, maybe we can fake, this is what the sums up, maybe we can fake a tremendous crisis, and maybe Krishna will come. Because obviously, you know, Kunti influenced them, Vipata, Shantita, but the calamities happen again and again. When you're dependent, God is there, because you have a relationship with God. And that's why it was mentioned in the Bhagavatam that Kunti is more favored by Krishna than Krishna's own mother. Because Krishna's own mother has the protection of a husband. Kunti's husband died. It's not just that, but that situation enabled Kunti to become more dependent. That's the illusion of the material world. The illusion of the material world is that we are not connected to God. We are connected to God, but we don't see or realize that connection. And God deals with us to realize that connection. They're not separate from God. Everything is God's energy. But that type of non-dualism is not absolute non-dualism, because God has energy. I'm just reading in this other book by someone else for my preaching or my lecturing. I'm reading other books, and this man is describing it. It was nice. He said, just like the hand is nothing but the body. The eyes are nothing but the body, but they're also different. But they cannot be separated from the body. They need the support of the body. He said the waves in the ocean, they're nothing but the ocean. But they're also different from the ocean, but they cannot be separated from the ocean. So we are not separated from God. We need God's support. So, not surprising that the Maybe we make a calamity, then Krishna will come. Okay, but of course, in our situation, it's that dependence on God, our whole life, that dependence on God. And he reciprocates, he responds. I was reading this book, too, about this person. It's interesting, about mantras. And he's saying how one should chant all the time mantras. That was very interesting. Of course, that Kirtaniya Sadhari, you should chant mantras. And he wrote, he said, and God will appear. And he gave a practical example. He said he was once walking, he was in San Francisco, and there was a big argument, and this girl was telling this boy, we are finished. I'm never going to see you again. And she stormed off. The girl's name was Cynthia. And he said he was shocked. The boy just started saying, Cynthia! 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 And like it was like annoying. The whole neighborhood could hear. And he was just wailing.
Cynthia! Cynthia! Don't leave me, Cynthia! Cynthia, don't leave me, please, 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 don't leave me. And then
a voice was saying, okay, Tom, I'll be right down.
So the guy said, that's like mantra chanting. Krishna, 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 Krishna.
And then Krishna
comes.
It's nice to see the same philosophy in other places. It's nice. Very interesting book. Person who's talking about matcha. He said that he grew up, his grandmother was his guru. He's from South India. And he wanted to join a debating society. He's a great debater. But the problem was, he was in Kerala, and, you know, the British were ruling, and there was prejudice against the Hindus. So he had to go to a Catholic missionary school, and he didn't grow up in such an English environment as other people did. He had to go to, so he was a good debater, but he was always get stage fright. So he consulted his grandmother. What should I do? What should I do? And she said, just chant mantra. He said, just chant mantra. And the mantra he got was Ram, 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 Ram. He just chant mantra. And even describing scientifically what happened. And he said from that time on, he just always chanted Ram. Whenever he was in anxiety, whenever he was waiting for something. And it kind of gave me inspiration because there's so many times where I'm rushing through something and I feel it's boring. Like folding my clothes, putting them away. And then I just chant my mantra. Hare Krishna. He said, with focus and concentration, you chant your mantra. And really, what happens is because our anxieties are in the mind. One of the fundamental, what's called kleshas, torments, which bring us into the material contamination, according to Patanjali in classical yoga, there's five. There's avidya, there's asmita or ego, there's attachment, aversion, and clinging to life. These five things, they keep us. So he's saying, so one of the things that is ego, and what ego means is you think the mind as the self. Because the mind is just calling, I am the body, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. And our anxiety is existing there. So he just described what mantra does. It fixes the mind and stops that. It takes your mind away from the anxiety, which is not real. And then in this book I wrote, this book I read. This person said that, you know, he even had a foreword by a neurosurgeon or something, became his disciple. And the guy was even describing from neuroscience where aspects of the mind are. I mean, you know, and how it works when you focus, and then other parts that, you know. So even from that standpoint, but of course he's talking about this higher consciousness. So I lost my connection. I went off on a tangent, but the point was related to something I was saying. But anybody remember? Yeah.
Marge, I think it was a spirit of dependence that you were talking about.
What?
I think you were talking about a spirit.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, very, thank you. Right, thank you, Marmory. Great. We're talking about the dependence of the ponderings and how calamity somehow invokes that. They're going to fake the calamity. Yeah, so that's it. So there's anyway, and thank you for being back. So the point is the ponderings were viewing it. Narada was viewing the Pandavas and seeing them like that.
And then after that, Narada, they wanted to worship Narada. But again, what is the consciousness of someone who's a real devotee? Conscious of real devotee is that he does not see himself as the controller or enjoyer. He sees him or herself as an object to be enjoyed by others. That's what love or service means. If you love someone, you don't want to enjoy them, you want to be enjoyed by them. You want to mold your life, your actions, your activities to be an object of pleasure. And that's basically also guru-disciple relationship. You're trying to change that material consciousness, acting for the pleasure of another. Generally, when we do, we dress, act, think, talk, so that people will serve us. We don't dress, act, talk, so others will be pleased. It's the same activities, the consciousness changes. And one who actually is a devotee and is relishing love, which is the highest pleasure, his whole consciousness is how I can be pleasing to Krishna and God and those who represent Krishna, what pleases them. And it's such a shift in consciousness, and you have to be conscious to do that, because even as a devotee and going through the motions and activities, what are the inner thoughts, right? Will I be impressive and people will serve me more, people will glorify me more, people will give me more, or will I give more? The whole concept, I know sometimes Borijan Prabhu talks about that, our life being an offering. That's what devotion is. It's an offering. We make it nice. Why? For the pleasure of Krishna. So our life is an offering to God. And it doesn't have to be an offering of opulence. Patam pushpam palam toyam. It has to be an offering of love. But at the same time, it should be attractive. But what should be attractive? The love. And then the love can manifest in ways. It can manifest in cooking. It can manifest in serving and management. It can manifest in humanity and morality and decency. To make ourselves, but the whole shift in consciousness. So therefore, Narada, being such a great devotee, He's not so eager to be put in the center and have the ghee lamps swirled around him. He grabs the ghee lamp. And you see this. Devotees, they don't want to be worshipped or glorified. And if they do, they're fallen. One time in the midst of the Zonal Acharya thing, one of the leaders was making Vyasa-san so high for himself that basically his feet were at your eye level. And then he was getting big palaces. So I remember one godbrother was concerned, so he went to one sadhu in Vrindavan and described what was happening. And he was real concerned. He said, "Do you think he'll fall?" And the sadhu said, "He has already fallen." Pride precedeth the fall. What is pride? That attachment. That, you know, Vrindavan, that's what Vrindavan means, being a humble servant. And it's wonderful to see a real sadhu, actually, wanting to serve others. And in that humility, then love flows through the heart. In that humility, you feel love. You can't feel love if you're not humble. Oh, boy. thought this battery is going to go out. I got to plug this in and re-situate where I am. How's that working again? Uh-oh. I'm afraid I'm going to lose the... Oh, wait. Okay. I'm going to have to reshift myself. Here. What? No. Be right back. 1 second. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. Now I have a whole other crew here. I'd like to speak to one frame of reference here, but let's see where we're at. Yes, yeah, Narada, he's not wanting to be worshipped. He's satisfied in that position of servant. And then Narada, and this is actually the key point of this section, and then we'll go over that. Narada, he's really now, he's searching for the topmost devotee. Prahlad pointed to the Pandavas. And he's very excited because from what Prahlad said, he can understand what makes the greatest devotee. The greatest devotee means one who has the greatest love. And the greater one's love, the more God reveals himself. And the full revelation of God is Krishna. Narayana is also God. And that point, I assured in the purport, was so good. All manifested, Narayana and Krishna, they're not different persons. Vishnu and Krishna, it's not two different persons, it's one person. But what's the difference? The difference is Krishna means the full potency is manifested. God is, they're all fully potent. The full potency is not manifest. And full potency means one's loving nature. And the classic example would be Krishna at Kurukshetra. It's not actually Krishna. It's Vasudev Krishna. Not Krishna. And therefore, when Radharani goes, because Krishna is the king, although the full potency is there, it's not manifest. What's the full potency? The beauty of Krishna as a friend, the beauty of God as a lover, the beauty of God as a child, not manifest, because it's not appropriate for the predominant environment and relationship. A person manifests himself according to the environment. I'll tell a story. Rishi, we grew up in the same town, so the same little village. So I tell you this, my brother worked in the criminal courts on Skirmhorn Street. I ran into the temple for so many years, and somehow, one time, I thought I'd visit him. So one of Seva Priya, one of my disciples, she said, okay, I'll bake some pies. So I went to the criminal court, you know, trying to get in with pies. You know, that's where they keep the guns, right?
to try and get pies into the criminal court. It's Christmas, so I wanted to give my brother something. But somehow or other, it's funny, I don't want to tell Stuart how I got in, but then when I went to the court, you know, my brother, he manages the court. He's a court clerk. He manages the court. So I peeked my head in, and the judge was there. Usually, they should be sober. People here won't see it, but he went like this. He saw me. I stuck my head in with the royalty. Inappropriate. The judge should not reveal his intimate self in that setting, because the environment it requires that he remain high and distant and not reveal himself fully. Krishna means God at home, full potency, and will only be revealed to those who have an intimate relationship. So the best devotees are the devotees of Krishna. And therefore, Narada wants to glorify Krishna, and in doing so, glorify the Pandavas, because Krishna has come to live with them. So what he does to do this now, and this is the part we're in. I wanted to wait till everyone was here. The part we're in right now is what Krishna is being glorified for is his ability to liberate those who associate with him. And the way liberation works, liberation is when the mind is fixed. So if you want to become liberated, the petty desires of the mind have to stop, and you have to be fixed on the absolute truth. And when you can do that for a fixed amount of time, you achieve what's called samadhi, the highest stage of yoga. And samadhi is the stage of liberation. Because when you're in that level of focus on the absolute reality, the divine, then you transcend the mind. And that's what keeps one immersed in the world. So the point that they want to make is because Krishna is God with the full potency, and the full potencies we're going to see, here, this verse, next verse is saying, those unprecedented attractive features of Krishna leave one struck with amazement. So also do his pastimes, his qualities, his pure love, his glorious virtues, and the places where he sports. Purport is so beautiful. Everything about Krishna is attractive, not only his physical beauty. Everything he does is playful and full of variety. His virtues, like compassion, are all perfect and unlimited. He loves his devotees unconditionally, as they love him. He exhibits all the traits of noble character, like concern for the unfortunate persons and submission to the desires of his devotees. Sri Vrindavan Forest and his other pleasure grounds also attract the hearts of all who enter. The Pandava, who Narada has addressed as Krishna's brother, have certainly realized these truths and are therefore most fortunate among human beings. So Krishna is the most attractive. Not just his physical beauty, but his heart. And when the heart is attractive, the physical beauty becomes attractive. Otherwise, it's just a plastic, superficial beauty. When physical beauty is a manifestation of piety, you see sometimes people that are beautiful, but they're pious. It's a whole other level of beauty, because the physical beauty is connected to the heart. What to speak if it's the pure love and devotion. So that's Krishna. Krishna's heart is beauty is a manifestation of his heart. It's the supreme beauty. And that beauty and love is manifest in everything Krishna does. So he's the most alluring. And therefore there's that song by Vallabhacharya, which I don't have the songbook here, but it's Maduram, 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 Maduram. Everything, his gait, his walk, his smile, his beauty, his friends, and everything about Krishna is sweet. And therefore, well, in other incarnations where the potency is checked, you don't get liberation in there. You don't get that level of absorption. And therefore, Narada makes this known. He said, before Krishna, no one got liberated, even in association with the Lord of Vaikuntha. Only Prahlad. Only Prahlad. And even with Prahlad, it's mixed with Gyan. It's not a personal Gyan. It means he worships God with an understanding that it is God. So the love, which is pure, has an element of obligation or duty. When we say Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti, Kevala Bhakti means this spontaneous devotion. You're not dealing with God. There's no obligation or duty. So what's the motive of service and attraction? It's only the heart. So even Prahlad, and again, I mentioned that yesterday when I spoke, you know, I'm not relativizing Prahlad. This is very high in this level, the devotion. So it says, and even in Ram, mostly it was a few personal associates. Sita was already Lakshmi Devi. You know, and then there was a few, but they did not get this for Shudasya pain. They did not get the level of love. It was still mixed with some obligation or duty. But those who came into casual contact with Krishna, they became liberated. Casual contact. And even the demons that are killed by Krishna. They just look at Krishna, and Kamsa looks at Krishna, and he just becomes absorbed in Krishna, becomes liberated. So Krishna, even the demons. And then it says not only the demons, but even the they give an example of thoughtful sages, Vishwamitra Muni, Jastir, and all these people. Their objective is dharma, karma, artha, moksha. But as soon as they see Krishna, they want Krishna. He's so alluring. Even the trees, the creepers, everything in relationship to Krishna. So this is what he's presenting. And therefore, the conclusion, why are liberation and pure devotion obtained more easily from Krishna than from any other form of Godhead? Because he is supremely attractive. The beauty of his all-attractive features has never been seen in anyone else, not in the Lord of Vaikuntha, nor in the incarnations of Vishnu. Only Krishna. I think that had he not descended in his own original form, the world would have never known his true identity as the personality of Godhead. You know, if Krishna hadn't appeared, people wouldn't have known the full manifestation of God. Just like you can't know the full manifestation of a person if you meet him on the street. Can't know the full manifestation of a person if you meet him in the office. You can only meet him at home, and if you have that relationship. Otherwise, you're not allowed in the home. And even if you are in the home, the person will not manifest itself. Like the high court judge may be at home, and then someone may come to deal with him in a formal way about business, and he's around his family and things. All of a sudden, the potency, the love, the heart, the beauty, the attractiveness is checked. So yeah, it would not be known, Narada is saying. And he lived with you? What is the level of your devotion that Krishna lived with you and served you? He was so inspired to serve you. Now his identity as God has been shown, for he has appeared in all his splendor, adorned with his unique glories and the varied wonders of his charming sweetness. idanim paramam kastam prapta bhut sarvatasputa vishishta mahima shrini madhuri chitra tachita. He's marked by chitrita, by varieties of madhuri, of his sweetness, his love, his heart personified, manifest, makes everything beautiful. Just like selfishness makes everything ugly, love makes everything beautiful. So Krishna is just the essence of the supreme beauty. As long as Krishna stayed on earth, everyone could see his supreme greatness and charm. Krishna is the eternal source of all incarnations, but because for 125 years his full glories, rarely seen, were manifest on earth, Krishna is also considered a special incarnation. In a way that transcends ordinary logic, the extremes of divine opulence and simple charm are simultaneously visible in Sri Krishna. He's simple beauty, but also he has unlimited opulence. Just like in the Brahma Vimohan Lila. Have you ever seen that aerial? Where Krishna stole the cows? You did? We went to there? Okay. Where Krishna stole where Lord Brahma stole the cows? It's right around the corner here on Chatikara Road, in a place called Choman, the place of forgiveness. No, that's not there. No, it's over there. You go on the main road, you turn to right, there's a little village there. I went there once. I was giving class on it, and one of the participants knew where it was. And we went and we had a picnic there. There's three places. There's Say. Say is where Brahma, I've got these three places, but in that particular pastime when Brahma stole the cows and calves, then Krishna, with his unlimited opulence, manifests himself as all the cows and calves, which is unlimited opulence, because you just constructing one person is so difficult. You have to know their whole psychological background. To create a person exactly, the psychology, the dress. So he has both. He has the opulence and he has the charm and the sweetness. And it's in one person. So Narada is now in a real ecstatic state because he's glorifying Krishna. And glorification is bhakti. You don't glorify unless you love. So when you glorify, it's your love. When you're actually doing it out of enthusiasm, and that's the basis of bhakti. You glorify out of love. You can see if you ever had deep attraction to someone, you always wanted to talk about them, and your talking about them was your love for them. And whatever the relationship was, we all seem to have one time or another had some relationship, a profound attraction to someone, and maybe some separation from that person. Either for a day or 2 days or life, and we just want to talk about them. So Narada is at that state of bhakti where he's just glorifying Krishna. And he says, we speak of Krishna's kindness, but even the punishments he nets out are worthy of praise. To this there have been many witnesses, including Kamsa, Kaliya, Putana, and in the more distant past, Bali and others. Now, this is a long purport, which we'll cover next week. But this purport is very wonderful because it goes through the Bhagavatam and it describes all the different pastimes where Krishna killed the demons and the consciousness of those demons and how they became liberated. For example, Kamsa, while sitting on his throne or in his sitting room, while lying on his bed, or indeed while situated anywhere and while eating, sleeping, walking, or drinking, Kamsa saw only his enemy, the Supreme Lord. In other words, by thinking of his all-pervading enemy, Kamsa became unfavorably Krishna conscious. Then it describes, it goes through many stories. Putana. I'm just going to check that because one second. You know this has been broken for a while. You know about that? Okay. My desk just collapsed. Anybody like to say hello? Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Gail.
This was a very nice class for me. Got a lot out of it.
You did. Okay.
I did. Thank you.
It will stay now. You just push this here. It'll stay. It's okay. Very nice. I'll just have to keep people aware. You know, this Sangha has been going on for 3.5 years. Many people have listened regularly, and one is Gail. She hasn't. She's only missed maybe one or two classes in 3.5 years. So. She has the adhikari, the right to ask questions. Gail, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
You just wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's this?
This is Rasagya in Austin.
Rasagya, Hare Krishna. I've been thinking of you.
Thank you.
I was at Radha Kund yesterday, and my prayers. Because Borijan once told me, he said that you can offer the benefit to another person. So I was with
so much, Maharaj.
You really
appreciate it.
So I was with Sarvatma, so we offered the benefit of our pilgrimage to you, and our prayers are with you. I don't know too much of the details Mahamuni sent, but I understand you're,
it's a little serious, but we'll see. It's in Krishna's hands.
I know you have that faith, but our prayers are definitely with you.
Thank you, Maharaj, and please give my humble obeisances to Sarvatma Prabhu and his wife.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that tomorrow for sure. I'm going to see them again.
Thank you.
But he also said. I went with him together. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the wonderful class.
Well, thank you for being you and all. Being
okay.
So sweet, nice to the devotees. So we all pray for you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Nanda Dilal, Hare Gaur.
Nice to hear you from the place of Lord Krishna.
It's just so nice just to hear your sweet Bengali English accent.
Thank you.
We all appreciate that. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Stella, Hare Krishna. So nice to hear from you. Thank you.
A wonderful class.
Thank you.
So,
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Lalita Madhavadal. Thanks for class.
Thank you, Alika. Hi, Bo. We hope to see you in Vrindavan soon.
Yes,
you.
I hope so, too. I have a question which I'm storing up maybe next week.
Okay. You can write it to me or ask me. Okay.
Okay.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Henry. Hi, Bo. Great. I know you're feeling separation from the Dom.
Oh, yes, very much, very much.
I can tell. Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hello?
Who's that?
Madhava.
Oh, Madhava. Thank you for listening to my class. Great. She's only 5 years old. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Bharati.
Hare Krishna, Bharati. Thank you. Very nice. Okay, we're going to end now.
Hare Bhav Maharaj, this is Shastra Das.
Shastra, Hare Bhav.
Can't wait to finally be back to see you.
Oh, we'll see you soon in Braj, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Vanchakopa Dhruvya Shakapasin Vibhacha Patikinam Pavanayo Vaishnayo Namo.